is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. COVID-19 hospitalizations in Wisconsin and around the U.S. have seen some substantial increases this month. In Wisconsin, COVID hospitalizations are up over 10%, on par with the country as a whole. At the same time, vaccination rates for the latest booster are staying low. Just about 1 in 5 Americans have gotten it. On top of that, it's the season for influenza and RSV, and some people are talking about strep as well. Our next guest is a public health expert here in Wisconsin with a look at the latest news in the multi-virus season. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you gotten the latest COVID booster? Why? Why not? Have you caught the flu or COVID, or has RSV hit your family so far this year? Join in with your experiences, your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Jonathan Tempte is Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Tempte, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, good afternoon, Rob. Always a pleasure to join you.
Now, as I mentioned, we saw COVID hospitalizations go up some in the state. Milwaukee County, hospitalizations jumped, I believe, 50%. Now, these are coming up from low baselines. I don't want to come in with a panicked frame of mind here. Can you talk about what we're seeing in those hospitalization numbers, what we can read from that?
Well, I think last I checked, our average over a week was about 350 patients hospitalized, which is very, very low compared to where we were, for example, early on in the pandemic and during that Omicron surge. But we are seeing some acceleration out there. The good news that I can share is we're seeing less really sick people. About 10% of those hospitalized are in intensive care. But because of widespread use of vaccine, because of previous infection, we're seeing less of a overall effect.
One big question, and I've talked about to you about this over the last few years, Dr. Tempte, is COVID going to be a seasonal kind of virus with flare-ups in the way that, you know, influenza and colds and other things are? It's starting to look like that's the case. We're going to see it go up frequently in the fall. Does that seem to be the case?
Yeah, I'm going to abandon all cautiousness here and say absolutely COVID is going to become our fifth seasonal coronavirus. So this is something that we will see off and on, usually seasonally going forward. And part of that is going to depend on what variants we see coming around. But most of the respiratory viruses really prefer the cooler, drier seasonality that we get here in Wisconsin. So my prediction is really going to be an October through April or May virus.
You said fifth. Now, I think influenza is in the coronavirus family. I believe the common cold is, correct if I'm wrong. Fill out the count for me, please.
Yeah, there are other viruses that people don't usually think of. They have funny names like 229E, HKU1, NL63, and OC43. So those are the four other seasonal coronaviruses that have been in circulation for decades and that we in primary care see every year. But those act more like the common cold viruses, giving us sniffles, maybe a little fever, cough, and so on. And so we're going to see, I think, more of that going on. You mentioned also other viruses, so rhinovirus, also a common cold virus, but there are probably 100 different varieties out there. And then, of course, we have influenza, RSV, parainfluenza, adenovirus, this thing called human metapneumovirus. And what's interesting is we're seeing almost all of these circulating together right now.
And that's the worry, right? People talk about the triple threat of if COVID and influenza and RSV in particular hit a community at the same time, a worry that that could lead to, because of all those factors, more hospitalization, more stress on our health system. How big a concern is that?
Well, I have to go back into the pre-COVID pandemic days, and quite often during December, January, or February, we would get to a point where our hospitals were overrunning with patients. But at this time, or at that time, it was primarily influenza. So I think we're going to still see that type of effect. But on top of that, we might have a raised baseline from coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. We've had a lot more interest in RSV over the last couple of years. And part of that has been driven by the fact that we finally now have some approaches that are effective in preventing it, namely a vaccine for adults, a monoclonal antibody for infants, and a vaccine for pregnant women to provide protection for their infant after he or she is born. And so RSV has gotten a lot more attention over the last 1.5 to 2 years than it has for a lot of time before that.
Talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at COVID and influenza and RSV and other seasonal viruses, some of them on the rise in Wisconsin now. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest. If you're wondering about the diseases themselves, the vaccines related to them, efforts to prevent them, how you've made a decision over whether to get which vaccine, when, and how, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Tempty, we've got this latest vaccine, this latest COVID booster, more targeted to some of the more recent strains of the virus in circulation. As I mentioned up front, uptake on this particular booster has not been super widespread. What are you seeing out there?
Well, in the state of Wisconsin, only a little over 10% of us have received this updated vaccine for the 2023-2024 year. And that's a little bit discouraging. This is a vaccine that has been highly scrutinized, not only here in Wisconsin, in the United States, but across the world, and has turned out to be a very, very safe vaccine. And it is an effective vaccine, particularly in preventing the most serious outcomes, such as dying, being in an intensive care unit, and getting hospitalized. It also has been shown to be very effective in preventing long COVID. And long COVID is something that we all want to avoid. So there's really good reasons to get the vaccine and very few reasons not to.
I wanted to ask, people might wonder, hey, I got the first vaccine series, maybe one booster. Do I really need this new booster? Is there going to be that much of a difference between those older ones and getting that new one now?
That's a great question. And unfortunately, with vaccines, we never quite know how well they work until we're after a season. So when we try and calculate out the what we call vaccine effectiveness, it really is after the fact that we're able to do this. That being said, the people who do by far the best are people who have been vaccinated and subsequently have come down with COVID after being vaccinated and developed something we call a hybrid immunity. And this provides the best protection. Beyond that, what we can do to keep our immunity as honed and as pumped up as we can requires what I think is going to be an annual vaccine. We're not calling it a booster at this point in time because it really is a different vaccine every year based on what's in circulation. But this is the one thing that people can do to really increase their odds of getting through this well. And even if you do get sick, you're not going to get that sick.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Paul is with us in Richland Center. Paul, hi.
Hey, thank you very much. I want to tell people I am fully vaccinated with all the COVID, but I caught COVID the first part of November, and it took 2 weeks and 5 days for me to get a negative test in a home test. So, and my symptoms, I had all the typical symptoms, but they were extremely mild. But I can understand now. I've avoided this for 3 years. And I can understand how this can kill people real quickly because I had a, you know, lung congestion and all that kind of stuff. And but my question to the doctor is, the only shot that I have not had is my RSV shot. I was told that I need to wait 10 days after my second negative test to get the RSV shot. So I just want to find out if that's accurate. I've checked with my local hospital. I checked with my pharmacy. They're kind of telling me the same thing because I will really want to get that. But I really want to stress that even people that are vaccinated can get this thing. But that's not an excuse not to get vaccinated because it will kill you, I am quite sure. So I will hang up and listen to response.
Thanks. Paul, thanks a lot for that question. Let's start with his question. I hadn't heard about this, a waiting period after you've had COVID before getting the RSV shot.
Well, I sit on the adult RSV vaccine work group for the CDC as well as the COVID-19 vaccine work group. And this is something that I have never heard of. So I don't think this is quite true. We normally, with vaccines, say that if you're feeling extremely ill, it's a good time to avoid a vaccine because it may make you even more so. But in terms of any specific time after COVID infection, I don't think there's anything to be concerned about, except the health system might want you to stay away during that period of time that you still might be contagious. I think, Paul, you said that you had maybe 10 days or longer until your test became negative. More than likely, you were contagious for 5 to 7 days after that and still had presence of some of the viral material in your nose that was being picked up by the rapid test. But again, when people are actively sick with COVID, RSV, influenza, I don't care what it is, it's a good time to stay away from medical settings where there are congregations of oftentimes highly vulnerable people.
Thanks a lot for sharing your experience. Dr. Jonathan Tempty is with us, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at UW's School of Medicine and Public Health. He's talking to us about COVID, flu, and RSV and vaccines related to them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you taking steps to stay safe, keep others safe during respiratory virus season? Have you experienced one of those three or others so far this year? Do you still wear a mask in certain circumstances? Do you have questions about the vaccines? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about respiratory virus season with Dr. Jonathan Tempty, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, answering your questions about COVID, RSV, influenza, vaccines. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Green Bay. Tom, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling with much of a comment as I am a question. I've been trying for months to get a COVID booster. Finally got it 2 days ago. My primary care provider has not been providing it, and now that they've finally started, it's a one-week wait they have one clinic per month to give the COVID booster. I had to go to a pharmacy to get it, whereas 2 years ago, you couldn't walk a block without seeing somebody who was given COVID boosters. So I'm wondering why there is so little availability, why it's so restricted this time around.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Tempty, strictly anecdotally, early on in this latest COVID vaccine, I'd been hearing a lot of people having trouble getting it, even at the pharmacies that were supposed to get it. More recently, including myself, a lot more next day appointments available. What are you seeing as far as the logistics of the vaccine?
Well, currently, it appears that there is a very good supply out there from the manufacturers. We have two primary vaccines, one from we normally call the Pfizer vaccine, the other we call the Moderna. But they should be in good supply. Part of it depends on health systems and their decisions as to how much vaccine to order, when to order it, and so on. And I'm sorry, Tom, that you got stuck in a situation where you were not able to get vaccinated at an appropriate time. But I think we find a lot of variation across the state and across the country.
Thanks again for that call, Tom. We'll go now to Nancy in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I'm a 91-year-old Caucasian woman. I have had all the COVID shots, and I had a quadrivalent flu shot about 10 days ago. And so I'm curious about if I've had especially this quadrivalent flu shot, why do I have to get the RSV? What is that? How is that protecting me that the quadrivalent is not?
Dr. Tempty.
Yeah, Nancy, that's an excellent question. So the quadrivalent influenza vaccine covers four different types and subtypes of influenza. And the RSV vaccine is for a totally different virus and provides protection against this other virus that is not covered by either the COVID vaccine or the influenza vaccine. And at this point in time, the RSV vaccine is not a vaccine that is what we call routinely recommended, but it's recommended based on individual shared clinical decision-making. This is one that we recommend that people talk to their doctors about and ask the question whether it's right or not for you. The reason for that is there's not sufficient good evidence right now for its ability to protect against the more serious outcomes such as hospitalization. We do know it protects against lower respiratory tract infections, but we're waiting to get a little bit better clarity on how effective it is for preventing those more significant outcomes, especially in older individuals, say over the age of 75, and people with underlying medical conditions.
That's what I wanted to follow up with, Dr. Tempty. Given that this isn't a across-the-board recommendation kind of vaccine, who should be asking that question to their doctor about, hey, do I need RSV vaccine?
Well, by way of personal disclosure, I'm in the age range that could get the RSV. I know a lot about viruses, and I haven't gotten it as of yet. And the reason being is I don't have any underlying heart or lung disease, no metabolic disease, and so on. But I think really the people that will benefit the most from this vaccine are people with underlying chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, asthma, or any other lung disease, people who have known cardiovascular disease, such as a heart attack or a history of congestive heart failure, and a few other chronic conditions. Those are the ones that are likely to benefit most from this vaccine. And for the rest of us, it's going to be more on whether or not it's a good decision for you. I'll give you one other example. If I'm going to be around infants a lot, there could be a good reason for me to be vaccinated to lower the risk that I spread this to an individual who is at high risk with RSV. And that's typically infants, in their first year of life.
Thanks again for that call, Nancy. Hope that helps. Talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty with the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Want to talk a little bit about influenza, Dr. Tempty. One of my pet peeves when we talk about influenza, it's not what we call stomach flu, right? It's a respiratory ailment. What are we seeing in the still kind of early days of flu season so far as far as strains and how serious they might be?
Well, excellent question. We're starting to see some activity from the studies that my team does down in the Oregon School District, just south of Madison. We had our first positives come up about two and a half weeks ago in school-aged children. So it's out there. We're seeing some hospitalizations across the state. So far this season, I think there have been about 70 hospitalizations for influenza across the entire state of Wisconsin. That's higher than it was back in 2019 into 20, but it's lower than it was a year ago when we had a really aggressive season. So again, throwing caution to the wind, I would suspect that we're going to see influenza increase over the next 3 to 4 weeks and probably peak out at the end of December or early to mid-January and then come back on down. But that's kind of what we're expecting right now.
We got an email from Matt in Madison who writes, I just got a CT scan. I was the only one in the room with a mask on. We can't even mask up to give cancer patients a CT scan. Unreal, Matt says. I spent a lot of time at a hospital last week for a relative. There were very few masks, staff, patients, visitors, and so on. Thoughts on when and where we might still think about wearing masks these days, Dr. Tempty?
Well, I think any time that one is actively sick, so with a respiratory infection, coughing, sneezing, feeling feverish, it's a good idea if you're going to be out amongst other people to put a mask on. I think in medical settings that universally we are using masking whenever there's a patient. Well, we mask patients when they come in if they have a respiratory infection, and the healthcare team is all masked, or even sometimes using what we call respirators when we have people who are sick. On the flip side, I think there's a lot of people in the healthcare profession that spent 3 years in masks, and they're enjoying a little break from that. My suspicion is the season goes on, we'll see more masking. But I'm also concerned, as the caller, that when we're around high-risk individuals, for example, people getting cancer chemotherapy or radiation therapy, that those are situations where we should do a better job of protecting the people who are most vulnerable out there.
Dr. Tempty, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Well, and thank you so much, and keep safe out there.
That's Dr. Jonathan Tempty, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He talked to us today about the respiratory viruses out there, COVID, flu, and RSV.